I am super glad to be together this morning. I'd probably much prefer to be sitting down where you're sitting, but I am, yeah, following what God's told me to do. So we get to talk this morning about hope, and I am excited to dig into a part of scripture with you and just reflect on it and see how God speaks to us through it. And I love Advent. I'm probably going to say that again, but I just feel like this time is so ripe with opportunity and invitation. And so I really hope that however you come this morning, you might be able just to be open to what God has to say to you today. So, I'm going to wander. If you didn't see it when you came in the door, I think it's a stand at the doors there. Before you come into this room, there were some pens and papers. If you didn't get one, or if you don't have something else you would like to use, I'd encourage you to go do that. Or maybe if there's a couple people who want to like pass it out, if people raise their hands. For those of you who are online, you can use whatever you have. So a pen, a marker, a crayon, doesn't matter, and something to write on. I'm going to give you a couple minutes just to get what you need, and then we'll dive in together. Awesome. So it looks like most of us are almost ready to go here, and I hope the same is true for you at home. Before we do get into the passage that we're going to look at, I wonder if you would accept an invitation to think a bit about your life. Maybe your life personally. Your life as you are experiencing it. Maybe it's kind of more broad than that, like life and kind of culture and society and the reality we're living in right now. And I want you to consider these three questions. They should come up on the screen behind me. If not, I will read them out. Here you go. So what is something that is weighing heavy on your heart or mind today, something that you're worried about? Or perhaps what is something that you're facing that feels dark or difficult? Or what is something that seems like it's just too much to bear? I know these are not easy questions. And I know it's uncomfortable. But I hope that you will just take a minute and write down something. If you don't want to write it down or you can't write it down on your piece of paper, take a mental note, if you will. And then we will carry on. Perhaps I should have said before, and I'm sorry, this is not a paper that's going to be shared with anybody. This is just for you. I don't know if that makes it any more comfortable, but as we're finishing up, I wonder if maybe it was hard to write just one thing. It seems that there's a lot of hard stuff right now. So maybe there's multiple things that you wrote down. Maybe you just couldn't write down one thing because it feels like there's too much of everything else. Whatever is okay. But I'm going to invite you just to fold it up or tuck it in your Bible or underneath your leg or something. And we're going to come back to it a little bit later. Okay? And so now that we've started on a very happy and light note, why don't we pray before we dive into our passage? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this time that you've given us together. Thank you, God, that you see us and you know exactly where we're at. You know what we've come in and we are sitting with this morning. God, I pray that this morning you would give us the courage to listen with open ears and open hearts and minds to what you would have to say to us today. God, help me not to get in the way and unleash your spirit in this place, I pray. God, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are going to be looking into the book of John. So if you're not familiar with the Bible, maybe you can look in the table of contents, which is at the beginning of every Bible. It's normally the first couple pages. Or if you have an app or Bible Gateway online or whatever you choose to use, you can look it up. It will also be up on the screen. Amazing, already behind me. And we're going to actually read from verse 1 of chapter 1, so the very beginning of John, all the way down to verse 14. Here we go. Okay. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know about you, or I'm not sure how much time you spend in the Bible. This is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. It is jam-packed, like even just these 14 verses, even just the first few verses are like a dynamite shot. Actually, one of the commentaries I was studying and reading in preparing for this morning, it called it a triumph of Christian theology. Like literally, like everything that's so important is jam-packed into these first few verses and into this section. And it does, it's foundational truth that helps us to understand who God is, who we are, about life. And it has echoes of the creation story from Genesis. It sets the stage for recreation, if you will. So recreation of humankind that was only possible through Jesus bringing life and providing light in the darkness. I think it's a super super impactful and really great way to introduce Jesus. If you're used to any of the other gospels, then you know that they're a little different. John, who wrote this book, doesn't include a detailed account of Jesus' actual birth. for those of you who don't know, I really love babies and I love birth and everything to do with it. And so the detailed account of Jesus' birth is always like a highlight for me. I really love those very raw and intimate and real places. But there's something so powerful about this introduction to Jesus. And he, instead of just having that detailed account, he actually does this brief introduction, although very powerful, and then jumps right in to Jesus' adult life and his earthly ministry. And I don't know, maybe that's the first time you've read that part, maybe it's not, but it's a wee bit confusing, I think. All the words and the beginning and the, like, it's just a lot to wrap your head around. And I can tell you the first time I remember, anyway, really studying this part of the Bible was in a small group when I was a young teen and also a young Christian. And I remember being so perplexed before I even got to verse 4 that I was just like, oh my, I don't even know. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's a lot to wrap your head around. I was fortunate that one of my youth leaders was able to explain the difference between little word, word of God, and big word, word of God. That little word of God meant scripture, and big word of God meant Jesus, the living word of God. And that did help. However, it is still a lot to try to consider and wrap your head around. I don't think just because I was young. It's a lot. It's huge. It kind of made it feel like my brain was going to short circuit. But it is fascinating, even though it's difficult to understand. And I think it's hard to explain from a human perspective. And it's really important to study and wrestle with. But we're actually not going to focus on working to understand it this morning. Instead, we're actually going to follow the advice that my youth leader gave me and my peers so long ago. And that's going to help guide the rest of our time together. So she basically encouraged my friends and I to not get distracted with trying to figure it all out and trying to have it all straight so that we didn't miss out on the transformational truth that the same God who created everything, each of us, who gives life and sustains it, who always has been, always will be, that God chose to take on flesh and blood in the person of Jesus and step into our human realm of experience and understanding. The God of all, who is the only true source of life and light in the darkness, made himself accessible, tangible even, and relatable for us. In verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, hopefully it'll come up on the screen, but I love the message and how it puts this verse. It's very like real life. Here it is. It says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory of with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." So I wonder maybe if at this point you're thinking, I think this is Hope Sunday of Advent, and I'm not sure why she hasn't talked about hope yet. Perhaps you are. As I was kind of wrestling and writing through everything, I kind of laughed at myself. I was like, well, that's a really long intro. But the thing is that I don't actually think that hope can exist without knowing who Jesus was and is and what that means to me. I think that Emmanuel, God with us, actually changes everything. And so as we start this journey through Advent together, I hope that you will be open to the hope that's available in Jesus. Growing up, my experience was that the hope of Jesus was typically talked about in a future sense, if that makes any sense to you. That Jesus provides our eternal anchor and security for those of us who choose him because of the gift of life and forgiveness and love that he made available to us. Right? In verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Absolutely. This future hope is absolutely true and critically important to understand deeply for those of us who are trying to follow Jesus. And sometimes it feels like the only thing we can hold on to. The thing is, I just think that if we stop there, we miss such a crucial part of the hope that is available to us because of Jesus. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us here and now, today, with us as we navigate this messy, broken world. These messy, broken selves, at least for me. We have a God who understands what it is to be human. He knows what it's like to experience the joy and loss and grief, to work hard and to be hungry, to be betrayed and to suffer. And not only does God understand those realities and all the other realities that we face in our life, he's actually compassionate. And he doesn't leave us alone in any of it. I love the last part of verse 14. Actually, in the New Living Translation Bible, it says, so the word became human and made his home among us. And then it says this, he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. That's the God I know. And I don't know about you, but for me, knowing that God is not far off or distant, that he loves me so much so that he chose to step into the muck and mire of this world, and that he's with me each day in every place and every situation I find myself, that is the hope that buoys my soul. In the day, like daily, everyday life. It's Jesus, Emmanuel, God with me. And yet, still, hope is so much easier to think about and talk about than it is to actually live out, right? I think so anyway. I am a really practical person, probably to a fault. Anyone who knows me probably knows that. But I've been learning some things, mostly the hard way, about what it looks like for me to truly live out of a deep place of hope, like true hope. And those couple things are that I've been learning that hope is, it actually has to be volitional. So that's a big word for me anyway. I was all excited when I found out. I was like, yeah, that like captures it. But it just means that we have to make hope intentional. Like we have to keep practicing it. It isn't just a happy accident or a convenient byproduct of just knowing stuff or even just coming to church gatherings. what I believe to be true about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, has to actually transfer from head knowledge into a lived out reality day to day. I have to learn to recognize his presence and the light that he offers in the darkest places. And I guess it's really similar to the first, but I've also been learning that hope has to be gritty and stubborn. I think if it isn't, then it has no staying power as I face what life throws at me. I need to stay plugged into Jesus. And like Glenn mentioned last week, I have to keep getting to know him and spending time with him through scripture and prayer and all the other ways that he reveals himself to me, to all of us. And I need to actually participate in nurturing my relationship and connection with him. Not just on Sundays or when it's convenient, but actually on an ongoing basis. Like I said before, I told you I'd say it again, I really love Advent. And I love it for many, many reasons. I'm thankful for the opportunity it is, like the invitation it is to slow down, to take a breath, like we already talked about this morning, to reorient myself when it's needed, to spend some purposeful time waiting with hopeful anticipation when everything is not okay. And I am so grateful for the reminder that my hope, like my true hope, our hope, needs to be found in Jesus. And when it is, that hope stands sure and steady for far beyond these 4 weeks of Advent. It actually makes a difference in our everyday life. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, God with me, makes all the difference. When we're weary and weighed down in our uncertainty and fear, when we're in pain and grappling with our own fragility and limitations, in the horrible deep abyss of grief and loss, when the anguish of broken relationships or witnessing others' suffering feels like it's just too much to bear, when we're dealing with the devastating impact of our own poor choices or the damaging actions of others, in all the darkest and loneliest places that we find ourselves, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. That's where Jesus is with us, in it all. And I mean, obviously, this is a heavy list of things, right? And it could go on and on, I'm sure. But there's something to be said about the discipline of waiting with hopeful anticipation when things aren't okay. So it seems a little heavy and it seems a little sad and it's hard to kind of sit in this place. But Jesus being with us in those places is actually the light in that darkness. I love the New Living Translation puts it in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, it's talking about Jesus being the light. It says, that light that Jesus provides, that the darkness can never extinguish it. I need a little of that. I think we all do. So I wonder if maybe, as we begin our journey through Advent together this morning, maybe on a little somber note, it feels, when our tendency is just to like opt so way too often, like push through and push quickly past all the hard stuff, and we just look for quick fixes, right? That's just our world that we live in. If something's wrong, we exchange it for something new, or we try to fix it, or whatever it is, right? That's a really normal response for us. But in this time of waiting, I want to actually give us an opportunity to practice living out this hope we have in Jesus in like a really, really small way. So maybe we have something tangible that we can see and touch, although very insignificant, that would remind us about the real hope in the waiting. So I invite you to take out that piece of paper, wherever you shoved it, that you wrote on at the beginning. And maybe underneath it, beside it, around it, somewhere on that piece of paper, maybe on the back, I wonder if you would write, Emmanuel, God with me. Emmanuel, God with you, God with me. In these places we find ourselves, certainly not just the dark and difficult places, in every space and place we find ourselves, in our greatest joys, delight, and particularly as we embark on this Advent season together, in the hard places. The places where we just maybe feel a little lost, or the places where we are desperate for a little tiny glimmer of light. Jesus has made himself available to us. Just as that candle glows, and if all the lights were off, the blinds were closed, that light would sure shine, wouldn't it? It would stand out in the darkness. And so there's something about like just writing it down that maybe transfers it just a wee bit from our head to our hearts or to our being, that we might actually take some time to spend with Jesus this Advent season and beyond, that we would actually develop our vision so we can see the light. And we could hold on to that because we can hold on to Jesus no matter what. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this chance that we've had to get into Scripture and to talk about how you are the one and only true source of hope. God, thank you that you are. Thank you for the gift of life and light and love we have in you. God, this Advent season, as we wait, as we practice waiting, as we maybe develop a discipline of hopeful anticipation, God, would you show up for us in ways that are meaningful and recognizable for each of us. God, would you help us to lean in to you? God, would you help us to be able to live in and out of that hope and the joy that comes from that hope because of Jesus? whatever it is we're carrying this morning, whatever it is we've written down on this paper, God, I pray that you would help us to see you in it, and that you would shift our gaze so that these next 4 weeks, and as we move out of Advent and Christmas time, that it would cultivate something deep in each of us, where we could know in the deepest parts of ourselves what it is to abide with you, and then watch how that changes everything. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this time of year and the invitation you give us. God, give us courage to accept it. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.